In the great halls of USA Today, we assemble the newsroom's mightiest nerds. Brett Molina.
I'm so sorry for the producer of this podcast.
Kelly Lawler.
I will fight you on it.
Brian Truitt.
Spoiler town!
Together, they form the Mothership. Their mission? To harness their collective encyclopedic knowledge of nerdiness in all its forms. To dissect every trailer, plot twist, and game released for the geekiest of fans. The Mothership, saving the universe from bad comic book adaptations every Friday.
All aboard the Mothership, the Geek Culture Podcast from the USA Today Network. Thank you so much for joining us, and happy Friday, friends.
Happy Friday!
Happy Friday!
Let's meet the crew. I'm Brett Molina. I play video games. And what's getting me through this week is I started watching Schitt's Creek again because I needed to laugh a little bit. And I actually just caught past the episode where David and Moira are making enchiladas together, which is a classic.
I'm Brian Truitt. I watch movies. And what's getting me through this week, because I have not started my Ted Lasso rewatch before starting the new season, is Snake Eyes, the new G.I. Joe Origins movie starring Henry Golding as everyone's favorite mute mass commando, although Ninja Commando. But now, because it's a prequel and we're like rebooting the whole thing again because the other two G.I. Joe movies haven't worked, now we have Henry Golding's handsome face and he talks because he is not disfigured and mute yet. But he's good. You know, I feel like, you know, it's, if you like ninjas and martial arts and stuff, it's a good flick. It's, you know, if you're a G.I. Joe fan, it like pays homage to, you know, the cartoons and toys and everything we grew up with. And, you know, Henry Golding's cool. Andrew Koji plays Storm Shadow. He pretty much kind of steals the movie because Storm Shadow always is stealing stuff from Snake Eyes. He's good. He's awesome from Warrior, which Warrior's an awesome show. It's on HBO Max. Watch it. So yeah, it'll get everybody in the kung fu mood before Shang-Chi hits in September.
What I find funny about that movie is when I first saw the trailer, I was like, oh, cool, a Henry Golding, you know, martial arts movie. And then I saw that it was G.I. Joe, and I was like less excited to watch it after seeing the franchise branding.
Well, that's the thing. You didn't grow up with it. I mean, you're, you know, kind of like that's the, it's it. And I mentioned this in my review. It's just like, you know, for kids of my generation, like, you know, it was our Marvel movies. You know, we lived and died with, you know, the G.I. Joe cartoons and toys and comic books and, you know, Transformers and He-Man and things like that. I mean, we didn't have Marvel movies yet. We had G.I. Joe cartoons. And I think, you know, and I think they're always going to be kind of screwed in a sense because it was such like a very narrowed fandom for that, you know, and no other kind of generation. It's never really been any that popular for any generation. So, you know, well, Marvel movies will like, you know, have a few generations of fans. You know, G.I. Joe is like this one pocket of like middle-aged dude, white dude. and they're trying hard to like, you know, really kind of make it, you know, inclusive. You know, this is a mostly Asian cast. You know, Snake Eyes is an Asian American and not a, you know, disfigured white dude. So that, I mean, that's a plus, I guess, you know, and especially here because, you know, Henry Golding is good in this role. So, you know, they're trying their hardest, but I just, you know, it's kind of an uphill battle.
I feel like G.I. Joe has always set the bar low anyway. I mean, they had an episode where Cobra was trying to subliminally recruit followers by starting an 80s hair metal band. Mm-hmm. So
Cold Sleather, man.
Yeah.
Cold Sleather rocks.
I've never expected a lot from a G.I. Joe movie, so I think that's why a lot of people are like probably more excited about it.
Yeah, I know. I think most people remember like the cheesy PSAs more than anything.
Well, I'm Kelly Lawler. I watch television, and what's making me happy this week is I've been catching up on the new season of a fantastic, 100 really sophisticated television show, Holy Moly on ABC, which is a summer silly series about extreme mini golf, which is kind of like a combination of mini golf and all those shows where people, you know, fall down basically after doing extreme stunts. So it's very silly. It's hosted by Rob Riggle. Steph Curry shows up as a golf pro. And I've been, you know, stressed out and trouble sleeping. And I was just like, you know what I want to do? I want to watch people, you know, try to not get knocked by a windmill into a big pool of water and fail miserably. And so I did. And it's made me very happy.
That sounds like the perfect show.
My daughter is very into that show. We started watching it like during the pandemic last year when it, you know, I think it was the second season last year. And like, and usually I'm like averse to that kind of nonsense in general, like reality show, you know, comedy nonsense. But like the sight of like some dude getting hit by an outhouse door and flying into brown sludge, I'm yes. like, I'm like, it wasn't even a dude. No, it was like a woman in like a gown or something. It was like this kind of like fashion influencer or something, and seeing her go flying in a brown sledge, I'm like, okay, I'm in.
It's just everyone's in on the joke. They wear outrageous costumes to come do it. They're like, I'm the king of mini golf, come beat me. And they, for incredibly like fake high stakes, because they could maybe win some money, but mostly they by luck, because the mini golf courses are so hard, it's more about luck than skill. And so, yeah, you don't feel bad when people, like, wipe out, because they kind of, they knew that they were probably going to, and they really seem to enjoy it. Unlike things like Wipeout, which I do not find very funny at all.
If this is your first time listening, boy, do we have some bad news for you. and we have some bad news for actually for all our listeners. I it's kind of sad, but also, I don't know. I mean, I think the only way to get through it is to laugh about it, I guess. I don't know.
We're all in a weird place.
We're all in a weird place right now. So today marks the final episode of this podcast. We started this nearly 7 years ago as a chance for us to talk about pop culture and a lot of the nerdy pop culture that we love, our favorite, you know, comic book movies, TV shows, video games, Spoiler Town, which I know a lot of you listeners that have been around a long time know very well. Just the numerous adventures trying to avoid every single spoiler imaginable. But now it is time to power down the mothership in this podcast. But before we do all that, we're going to talk about some of our favorite pop culture moments of the past nearly 7 years now, which takes us back to 2014. And it was funny because I was looking at the box office and all the movies that came out in 2014. Transformers Age of Extinction was the top grossing box office movie worldwide. It made over $1 billion, which I'm still trying to process. The Hobbit Battle of the Five Armies was out that year, and the first Guardians of the Galaxy. So it didn't hit me until I saw that list. I was like, wow, we've kind of been doing this for a super long time.
And we started talking about like Hunger Games. I mean, our first episode was about, you know, YA movies, and I can't remember which Hunger Games movie it was, but it was like pegged to the Hunger Games movie, and like YA movies don't even matter anymore, kind of, you know. It's interesting, kind of like that was kind of a flash in the pan.
I mean, I've been doing this podcast almost as long as I've been at USA Today. We started a few months after I started, so yeah, it's encompassed a lot of my career. I remember one of the first things that I remember working on at USA Today was the Star Wars casting. The black and white photo of, you know, little known actress Daisy Ridley and Adam Driver and everybody sitting around the table with Carrie Fisher, which is really sad. Now I'm annoyed at Star Wars. I was so happy about Star Wars back then. And now that makes me sad.
That's another thing that's been wild too, is how we were so eager for all the movies, and now it's like we're way more excited about the TV shows and everything else that's not a movie whatsoever.
Yeah.
Okay, let's dig into some of our favorite pop culture stuff. Kelly, we'll start with you. What are some of your favorite pop culture things of the last few years?
Well, one thing I felt I had to bring up which doesn't really come under the banner of favorite things, but it's definitely like most important and most impactful for me personally would be Game of Thrones, which is a show I used to really love and then became the most important thing I ever did in my life. And so therefore I could no longer particularly enjoy it at all because I became a Game of Thrones story writing robot. But I do think a lot about that show predates the 7 years of this podcast, but I started really writing about it in 2015, talked about it on this show a lot, and it was something I really loved and had really, really good episodes and seasons here and there before a lot of it went to heck. But I do, you know, as I see all the TV that's coming now trying to be big and epic and expensive, from Loki, which seemed to have a special effects budget minimum as opposed to a budget maximum, to, you know, Amazon's Lord of the Rings adaptation, which will maybe someday actually surface, to The Witcher, which remains one of my favorite shows. I say on the air, but it's been almost 2 years since it's on the air, but it's coming back in December. It has had a big effect on the world and on me personally. It is maybe coming back with a prequel. We'll see. Warner Media, HBO Max really needs it to happen. But, yeah, I did have some fun with Game of Thrones and a lot of very late nights.
So let me do, one of my picks. This one's obvious because I used conversation about this game to almost derail an interview with a famous person, which was awesome. but it's Overwatch. And it's funny that
you
I got
play
hooked
Overwatch?
On
Overwatch.
What? I've never heard of that.
I've never talked about this game. It's
Damn.
Weird, right?
I know
it's so strange, right? It's funny though because it's made by Blizzard, which makes World of Warcraft, and I swore to myself I'm not going to play a Blizzard game ever because they're just too addicting, and I don't want to play Warcraft. I don't want to, you know, I didn't want to get sucked into that. I knew it was going to be so time consuming, and I knew myself, and I knew I couldn't do it. But I tried Overwatch, and I'm like, okay, it's a shooter. It's a little more on speed, and obviously I've loved it. I think I played it solid 5 years. Like, that was my go-to game. I haven't played it probably in a few months or so. So, which is crazy, because I played it for a really long time. But it was such a... I mean, I played that game so religiously for so long, and I just love the fact that it was, it encouraged people to work together, which is really hard to do in a video game. It was just way more cooperative. They encouraged you to be cooperative, and it just had a lot of cool characters and a really fun universe, and there was just so much to love about it. But I think over everything, it was just about being able to play with other players in a slightly civil environment compared to some other games, so... Brian, let's hear from you.
Well, I'll go back to Star Wars. You know, I think that was the thing that, you know, because Kelly mentioned it, you know, one of the things that has happened in the last 7 years is like Star Wars came back in a huge way and then kind of like became like a thing that wasn't that great, but then kind of had like a shift back up and with the Mando and everything. But, you know, when Force Awakens hit, I mean, I feel like that was such a huge moment for me because that was like it renewed this love of Star Wars I haven't had since I was a kid. And, you know, I remember going out to LA and we, you know, I watched the premiere and that was like one of the coolest nights of my life. And, you know, me and Carly, you know, one of the original co-hosts of this podcast, I mean, we did like a breakdown, you know, we did like a podcast breakdown right after the thing, you know, and just like I could hardly talk because I was sick of the dogs at the time, but, you know, it was like, you know, we wanted to talk about it because we were excited about it. We talked about it in the car going to her place before I had to take my plane ride home in the middle of the night. And then we did a podcast about it. I mean, it was such a really cool thing because, you know, J.J. Abrams tapped into like kind of what I really loved about Star Wars at its very core, about heroes and about good and evil and, you know, and legacy and family and things, and bringing back characters we loved and, you know, and introduced such great characters like Daisy Ridley's Rey and Finn played by John Boyega and Oscar Isaac Poe. And then, you know, but unfortunately, you know, it didn't last. But like, but still, you know, Force Awakens, you know, when that hit pop culture, like, people paid attention to Star Wars in a major, major way again, like they haven't in, you know, quite some time, which what, you know, even though it didn't turn into like kind of this toxic online element, and, you know, there was some iffy movies afterward that didn't quite equal a very complete trilogy, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, it, for that one movie though, you know, Star Wars was back in a very big way, and everybody loved it again.
I remember a story that friend of the podcast, Mike Ryan, wrote the week Force Awakens came out, before it came out. The headline was something like, "Today is the best day to be a Star Wars fan." And it was like the last day before the reviews could be published and like social media reactions could happen. So The Force Awakens in our minds was the best Star Wars movie ever made, which I think is such a good distillation of the energy around in December 2015. And it was really fun. And I don't think we're going to get it again with many other movies, Star Wars or not. And it was very fun to work with Brian on all the Star Wars stuff we did back then.
Yeah. I don't think Star Wars will ever be the same.
No.
I think it'll transition to more of maybe a TV show. Perhaps because it's found some success there, but I just don't think it'll ever be quite the same. And that's okay, because I think, you know, there's enough room for other new things, not other new original things. You know, perhaps Indiana Jones 5 creates something interesting that hasn't to do with Harrison Ford, but passes the franchise torch onto someone or something else that, like, it creates a similar, you know, kind of like pop culture boost for that. Or, you know, Marvel movies will keep on chugging. We'll probably have another Game of Thrones at some point. Not Game of Thrones, but just something like that that does hit on such a level. But, you know, I think Star Wars has run its course to a certain degree. I mean, those 40 years of the Skywalker saga, you know, are a complete, interesting, awesome thing. And, you know, perhaps we keep on, you know, doing spinoffs and, you know, some things here and there. But, like, you know, it won't be the same ever again. And that's okay. I think, you know, people need to move on.
So, speaking of moving on, Kelly, your turn. What's your next
segue
pick? I know. Seriously, I'm so good at these.
7 years in, you're incredible at them, Bread.
Got it down. Perfect.
Bread. Yep. Your name's Bread.
I've been called worse. So what's your next pick?
So I tried to think back to like my favorite TV show from the past 7 years, and not just like the best one, because I like did a best of the decade story at the end of 2019. And I put The Americans down as the best show, which I still agree with. But sentimentally, and especially since I've been like gravitating towards it in recent weeks, I think a lot about Crazy Ex-Girlfriend as probably like my favorite show of the past 7 years and probably more years. I've been thinking about it a lot, especially since Schmigadoon just came out, which we talked about a little bit last week, which is another very high profile musical with original music, which is really good. And then it just reminds me, because Schmigadoon has so much money behind it and so few episodes, how hard it was to make Crazy Ex-Girlfriend a show, let alone a good show, on CW money, doing a full broadcast TV season of episodes every year with 1 to 3 original songs every week was pretty insane. And it was so good, and the songs are really hold up and can still make me very happy when I'm not feeling well. And the show said a lot about mental health before it was as cool to talk about it on TV as it is now. And I remain a sucker for musicals and always will be.
Well, it's interesting, though, because I feel like I've seen a bit of a bump in a lot of musical-based TV shows now. Like between Schmigadoon and then also Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, I feel like we've seen a lot more of that lately.
And there's also a bunch of movie musicals coming out this year. So it's definitely trending right now, so to speak. You know, I think In the Heights kind of underperformed, but who can say because of the pandemic? I don't know what Brian thinks about that box office thing. But, well, it's certainly something that I would love to see more of, although I don't think we need more remakes of West Side Story. I'd like some new stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think there's a taste for musicals. I don't know if it's successful per se, but I think, you know, when Steven Spielberg wants to remake West Side Story, and you have Lin-Manuel Miranda wanting to do a movie of Jonathan Larson musical with Tick, Tick, Boom. You know, you have a Dear Evan Hansen musical. Yeah, I feel like it's just in the air in terms of the creatives in Hollywood. I mean, I think, you know, down the line, you know, if it doesn't make a whole lot of money, then for sure, maybe then it goes away. But I feel like, you know, Lin-Manuel Miranda especially has kind of like ticked off this creative flurry of like, oh, you know, musicals matter to people, and you know, people love Hamilton to death, and he's this genius, so let's have him do all these music, you know, all these songs for musicals. And then I think people have seen that, and then they want to do like, okay, well, let's do the live action Mermaid, Little Mermaid, let's do Dear Evan Hansen, let's take all this stuff that has proven popular and like, let's make our versions of it, you know. Down, you know, at some point it may not make a whole lot of money, then they'll stop, because that's when Hollywood stops making things, is when they don't make money. But I think there's just kind of like, it's in the air right now that people like musicals, and they want something that's a little more lively and uplifting and optimistic and inclusive, and that's where the musicals are happening. So, you know, I think musicals are kind of the new YA movie in a sense, because, you know, YA movies were really big. And now musicals are really big, and, you know, at some point it'll be something else that's really big. But I enjoy the fact that, you know, musicals are having a kind of a thing, because, you know, my kid loves them, and my kid, you know, it makes my kid want to do, you know, be in a Moana Junior camp like she is right now. So, you know, I feel like that's all good. I mean, if it inspires my kid to be creative, you know, I'm all for it.
Okay, let me get to my second pick. So I went with Stranger Things because I absolutely adore the show. Another one. I actually didn't watch it the second it came out. I watched the first episode, like probably a couple weeks after it first debuted. And then I think I had some other stuff I was watching or playing or whatever, and I just held off on it. But then I got back to it right before the start of season two, and I absolutely adored it. And then I binged season two, and then I'm like a full-blown fan ever since. But the nostalgia, I mean, obviously is a big draw. The fact that it's set in the 80s, I mean, just brings back so many great memories there. I just feel like the casting is incredible. Just so many wonderful characters throughout that whole show. Obviously, Steve Harrington is probably very top of the list. But there's also, you know, David Harbour's character, all the kids, obviously. Just really, really well done. And it's interesting, too, because, you know, as we've seen, the most fascinating thing about the show is it's clear that it's super popular, but because it all comes out at once, you kind of have this big wave of Stranger Things for like a week, and then it goes away. I want to see Netflix do what Disney Plus has done, which is put out a show and have it go out week to week, because I would love to see what would happen if Stranger Things had kind of that longer shelf life where people are talking about it episode to episode. But yeah, I mean, I just feel like Stranger Things is fantastic. Season 4 is coming out soon, so very much looking forward to it.
Well, not soon. They're still filming it.
Well, yeah, probably eventually. Another couple of years. Yeah, eventually. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. So I think my second would be the Marvel movies. You know, I feel like in the last 7 years, we've covered Marvel movies really well. You know, we went to Spoiler Town. We've had interviews with, you know, like Peyton Reed came on to talk about, you know, I think it was Ant-Man and the Wasp that he came on to talk about. You know, Karen Gillan came on. We've been able to talk to Marvel stars. We've covered Marvel movies really well. I feel like we've had the best run of them, you know, in our 7 years, you know, from Guardians of the Galaxy and Winter Soldier and, you know, to Civil War and to the last Avengers movies. And I feel like nothing has quite had the quite captured pop culture like the Marvel movies have. And just because they are the biggest things going, they are, you know, they have overtaken Star Wars as like the possibly the biggest franchise of all time, which is pretty amazing. And I mean, and I think they've done it because they know what, you know, inherently they've known what to do with their characters, their casting, their stories. You know, they haven't really, they've made some missteps, small missteps, but I mean, you haven't had a bad Marvel movie yet, which is kind of amazing, you know, at, you know, having so many kind of filmmakers involved and stars and everything. And, you know, you would think one of them would be, you know, a shit show, but like, I mean, we haven't had a shit show since like Dark World.
I was going to say, pretty, I would say Thor good. The Dark World.
No, it's been a while. I mean, we haven't had a shit show in a while, but like, but we've had a good run.
Yeah, the closest we've had to something that's been, I guess, mildly criticized, well, and even it may have been in an aftersight, is Age of Ultron, where I think, you know, people, a lot of people like the movie when it came out, but I think now a few years in that we've had movies, I feel like people are giving that a second kind of more critical look.
Well, it's weird with old Age of Ultron. Like, you know, when WandaVision came out, there was a whole bunch of people that were like, oh, Age of Ultron wasn't that bad. And I feel like the other side, it's just like, I feel like that movie hasn't aged that great. I mean, there's certain things that about it that haven't, that aren't great, that are, you know, that are good and that aren't great. You know, there's a lot of things that have kind of flipped with that movie. I remember us talking about the Black Widow scene, you know, where she talks about how she can't have kids and she considers herself a monster. I remember us having that conversation on this podcast, and it's something that like kind of marred that movie in a sense. But it's also interesting now you see Black Widow like has fixed that moment. I mean, it has a moment in it in itself because it has a female director. It has Scarlett Johansson as executive producer. It has people other than like Joss Whedon as like creative minds behind the thing. And like they kind of fix that moment by, you know, by having them by talking about, you know, reproductive rights and everything in a uplifting, kind of empowering way,
in a lighthearted funny way.
Yeah, in a lighthearted way.
That's like one of the funniest parts of that, of the Black Widow movie.
Yeah, and in a sense, it kind of fixes what Joss kind of muffed up, you know, so many years ago, which is kind of interesting. You know, even then, I think that Marvel knows its missteps and finds ways to fix things, and they maybe, or if not even fix things, just kind of like make up for things kind of down the line. They haven't figured out how to, you know, the Malachi, like that horrible, that horrible dark elf, or pretty much poor, Dark World. They still haven't fixed yet.
Poor Christopher Eggleston. He deserves so much better.
The best doctor, and yet he's in the worst.
The worst Marvel villain.
Oh, well.
Okay, listeners, it's your turn. What are some of your favorite episodes of the podcast? What's some of the pop culture over the last 7 years that has been your favorite? Let's talk about it on Twitter. I'm at Brett Molina 23.
I'm at Brian Truitt.
And I'm at Kalawls, K-L-A-W-L-S.
And although you're not going to be hearing from us every week in this podcast, we would still love to hear from you after. So again, we're on Twitter, so hit us up. But yeah. That's it. That'll do it. Thanks so much for listening. Special thanks to our pilot/producer of the Mothership this week, Natalie Boyd. Also, thank you to everyone who has been involved in producing this podcast, Adam Fish, Shannon Green, Taylor Macon, everybody. Thank you. Last but not least, thank you to everyone who has listened to this podcast over the past 7 years. It has been so greatly appreciated. We have loved your feedback. We have loved your reactions, your responses, everything. Normally I'd say until next week, but one last time, nerds out.
Nerds out forever.
Nerds out.